said that in your life. I say it a lot. Let us pray. Let us come together and pray. Let us bow our heads in prayer. What a powerful image today that our text offers us. What a hopeful image for those of us who try to be faithful to the gospel, to serve the risen Christ, to be the church in the world. You see, Jesus prays for us. Jesus prays for us that we might be faithful and well in a world that can be a frightening and dangerous place for those called to live and proclaim the gospel. You see, Jesus prays for us. Prior to his arrest, his trial, and his crucifixion, Jesus gathers his disciples and he offers his final instruction concerning what it is to happen to him and how that will shape and define their life together as the church. Following his instruction with the disciples still gathered, Jesus prays for them. It says in verses 6 and verse 11, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are all one. More than likely, it is not the first time that Jesus has prayed for his disciples, and it certainly is not going to be the last. But here in this most difficult hour, when they should have been praying for him, Jesus looks up to heaven and he prays for his disciples. He holds the church up to God and he asks for the continued well-being of those who have followed him. Knowing what is awaiting him, Jesus understands the reality of evil and the hostile nature that the world can be. He knows that his followers are likely to face persecution, to have great peril in their life, even death, because of their faithfulness to his name. Nonetheless, Jesus, as God sent, just as God has sent Jesus into the world, now Jesus will send his followers into the world to continue to work, to continue the work of the gospel, that they should be one, even as Jesus and God are one. Now let's be clear here for a moment. The point here is not some kind of sentimental unity or superficial lack of dissension within the church so that our lives can be free of conflict. No, that's not it. The issue is the unified witness of the church to the gospel. The unified witness of the church to the gospel. In asking God to protect the disciples following his death and resurrection, Jesus is not promising the church a life free from hardship. No, he's not saying that it's going to be free of hardship and suffering. No. Rather, Jesus demonstrates that although the world might hate us, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the church's intimate relationship with God and with one another through Jesus Christ is going to enable you and empower you to persevere in faithfulness. With that knowledge, with that faith, it's going to allow you to make it through. Jesus prays for us so that we might be something that apart from him would be impossible. You see, the church would be an impossible place if it was not for him. If it was not for Jesus, this would be an impossible place to be because it wouldn't exist. You see, Jesus also asked that his followers be sanctified in the truth for continued growth in godliness and righteousness. He prays that our lives might each day come to reasonable and to come to look it like his. He said, I want you to look like me. Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to start looking like me. I want your lives to resemble mine. He prays that our hearts might be one, one with him and one with another. Mother Teresa, many, many years ago, was reflecting upon her ministry with the poor. She remarked that she often prayed to God that she would not lose her grip on the hand of Christ. Think about that. She prayed to God and she said, don't let me lose my grip on the hand of Christ. How comforting to know that a saint of the faith needed to pray that kind of prayer. Even more, it is comforting to know that Jesus prays that prayer on the behalf of you and me. When he asked the Lord to keep us united in love with him, he says, keep us together, keep us one. You see, in praying this prayer, Jesus invites us to join Him in a unique way of life that we know as Christian discipleship. He wants us to be His followers. He wants us to be the ones that go out, the ones that tell. What might it mean today for pastors all over the world to pray this prayer on behalf of those who have been entrusted to our care? Think about what that would be. If each and every day, pastors begin to pray for their churches, for their flock. I pray for you. I don't pray for you as much as I should, but I pray for you. I lift you up. Of course, you and I cannot pray the prayer as Jesus did because you and I are not Him. But what if Jesus' words and way with His disciples became the way that we live among those whom we serve? For me, exactly the way He lived is the way I would live and serve among you. What might our ministry look like today if I spent as much time holding the church before the Lord and asking God to protect and sanctify the church as we do, as many people do, as many pastors do? They complain about what's wrong with the people we are supposed to love and serve. Sometimes I go to pastors' meetings, I go to covenant meetings, I go to these things, and inevitably, before the thing is over with, sometime during it, guess what I'm going to hear? How bad some particular church is, how bad some group of people is, or how bad one person in that church is just making that pastor's life a living you know what. I hear that, it's complaining. But what if you guys, as members of the body of Christ and fellow followers of Jesus, devoted as much time and energy to praying for one another and asking God to support, protect, and sanctify one another as we do gossiping, backbiting, and complaining? So it's not all me that gets to do all the praying. Jesus tells His, He said, you know, you all get to do it too. As the church, as disciples, as being the ones, you get to pray for one another. You get to lift one another up. You get to support one another. If you put as much time and energy into that as you do worrying about something that's none of your business, guess what would happen? If the church commits itself, laity and clergy alike, you and me alike, not only to praying this prayer, but to living it as well, we just might, by God's grace, come to resemble the beloved community we are called to be. You and I are called to be something great. You and I are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. As I pray and read Jesus' words, I am mindful of the mystery and the beauty of the Holy Trinity. One God in three persons. The Blessed Trinity. I am mindful of the holy communication, the intimate and eternal bond of love that exists among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Christ, you and I are invited to share in that relationship, the community, the fellowship that exists at the very heart of God. In Christ, you and I are caught up in the divine life. God has given us to the Son in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We belong to Christ, and thus we belong to one another. The question goes around so many times. I hear people say, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? Yes, we are, in prayer. If we lift them up, we belong to one another. The church is an icon of the Trinity in as much as our relationships, our fellowship, our holy communication points to the life of the blessed and holy Trinity. So in praying this prayer, Jesus says, this is who you are. This is who I am. This is who we are as the church. Oh, what good news it is that Jesus prays for us. He prays for you and me. Through His prayer, His unceasing intercession on our behalf, we become more than we would otherwise be. Through His prayer, we become the church, God's gift for the life of the world. Through His prayer, we become the church, which is His gift for the life of the world that you and I live in. this world that you and I can make a difference in if we only take time. There's lots of good going on. There's lots of good things happening. Continue to allow it to be that relationship that you have by being the best disciple that you know how to be in serving our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word this day. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you give us so many examples of that in your word, that you taught us to pray, you showed us to pray, that you give us that example by praying in the garden, by praying with your disciples, by praying for them, by praying for people along the way, by healing, by teaching, by serving, by giving. So many things, Lord. Thank you for that example. Thank you for the gift of the prayer that you gave us that was your Father's prayer, to allow us that gift of mercy that can come by only knowing you. Lord, we thank you for that. I ask now, Lord, that you be with us during this time that is at hand, this time of decision, as we are allowed this moment in our lives to come to the altar, to come and share, to come and pray, to come and give, to come and let go, to come and be a part of that which you have so longed for us. So this morning I invite us to come and let us pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning.